This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
See, right now we're on over 24 radio stations in the United States. And people will say, oh my God, Gene and Chris are becoming like Howard Stern. I'm not going to say anything.
Man, it took a lot to hold that back for the right moment.
I've got a tuba up here, so we can make all sorts of fun noises.
No, we don't.
Where's that whoopee cushion when you need it?
Whoopee Goldberg has it.
Yeah, whoopee after a night at the local Mexican restaurant.
Oh, say yes.
That was a showstopper.
Right, you keep doing that, we're just going to have hours of silence. In fact, we're going to have a special episode of the Paracast where we just don't talk.
That would be special, Gene.
Like the John Cage version of the Paracast.
Yeah, right.
That's a music nerd joke.
Right. What was it called? The Silent Symphony or something, where he sat there for a half hour and didn't do a thing, and everybody kind of clapped at the end thinking... That was different.
It was 4:33. It was 4 minutes and 33 seconds of just sitting there at the piano.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, we could go in many directions with this particular subject, and you know, your book does you know, kind of approach it very methodically in terms of the types of smells, but. You know, the whole idea again of smell as a form of subterfuge or disinformation or programming in uncertainty into a particular, you know, phenomenal event. I've never really considered that before. And I think it's a very interesting concept of using a very primal, sense and using it to manipulate, the impact of a particular event. You know, I think we should discuss that a little bit more.
Well, you know, that's again, that's part of my goal. Like, I feel like, you know, the world doesn't need another Roswell book. What they need are books that talk about things that no one has thought about before. And that's sort of the niche that I hope that I'm carving out between, a Trojan Feast and this book. I'm just trying to get people to, if people take this concept and run with other things, like, you know, something Tim Banal and I have kicked back and forth a lot is, you know, why doesn't someone write a book on the effect of UFOs on small animals? Like, you know, on the effect of UFOs on pets. Like, there could be something really important in there. There could be something really fascinating in there. Some sort of additional insight. Because we as I've been fond of saying, we keep on, we're missing the forest for the trees, to sort of invert that sort of old adage on its head. We're too busy trying to solve the big question of what these phenomena are, as opposed to looking at little individual aspects of them and perhaps, you know, being able to spin those out into a more robust understanding of the phenomena as a whole.
You see, he's trying the John Cage trick, Chris.
Or maybe we just lost him. I don't know.
Well, he's been having weird problems with his connection. His internet connection smells. Oh, that's just a bad joke.
A little fishy.
Yeah, very much so. One way to get rid of me, by the way, the smell of eggs, the smell of seafood. If it's really abundant, I'm elsewhere very quickly.
So the reason that you associate rotten eggs with hydrogen sulfide is because hydrogen sulfide appears wherever there is decomposition in the absence of oxygen. So a rotten egg would definitely, you know, sort of fit that bill. But there's still a strong sulfurous component in eggs. A lot of the hard, rigid parts of the physiology of many animals, including eggshells, feathers, hair, fingernails, is due in part to keratin, which has sulfur as one of its primary components. It's the reason that, you know, whenever these components are burned, they smell as well.
Speaking of odors and lack of odors, my dog Teddy Bear is a Bichon, and a Bichon is known not to have very much of a doggy odor, or the kind of odor you attach to a dog. Is that a genetic issue or what?
You know, the reason that dogs smell is because whenever they're wetted down, well, there are a couple of different components. So yeast and bacteria in canine fur actually create odoriferous volatile compounds, which are they get displaced and freed by the presence and evaporation of water. And there are also sebaceous glands that produce sebum, is the actual name of the substance, this type of oil. So it helps the dog be waterproof, but it also gives them that nasty dog smell. So obviously certain breeds have this problem more than others. But it's interesting because, you know, wet dog smell is one of the more common Sasquatch smells after, you know, this whole hydrogen sulfide rotten egg smell. And it's interesting to note that of all the great apes, human beings might be one of the smelliest. Basically what that means is that, you know, if chimpanzees and gorillas took baths as frequently as we did, they might smell better than we do, which is surprising. But we have these same sebaceous glands as well. So the question is that if we are one of the smellier great apes and we have this sort of rotten egg sebaceous oil, not rotten egg sebaceous oil, but wet dog sebaceous oil oozing out of us, does that tilt the interpretation of Sasquatch into the ape-like human versus human-like ape camp? I think there's something to be, you know, examined in that, because you do run into this wet dog smell with Sasquatch quite a bit.
Really? I wasn't aware of that. I can't recall a single wet fur. I've heard that, but actually equating that smell to a dog smell, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, I mean, I could go through some cases, but it was one of the more common ones that I found. Again, with Sasquatch, you run into this thing where it's usually rarely ever just one thing. You know, it's wet dog that also smelled like, you know, a rotting corpse or something. You know, a lot of Sasquatch reports from Alaska, especially in the Ketchikan area, have a real wet dog smell. There was a couple in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania in the 70s who saw I believe it was a white Bigfoot that was rummaging through their garbage that smelled like a skunk and a wet dog combined. So you do run into these cases from time to time. You know, as far as Bigfoot goes, because, like, let's face it, that's probably the smelliest thing. The book's three main sections are spirits, UFOs, Bigfoot, and then I talk about, like, everything else, which is, you know, lake monsters, men in black, black-eyed kids, etc. Bigfoot has a reputation as being the stinkiest of the bunch. And so with Bigfoot cases, you find this sulfurous smell, usually hydrogen sulfide, but you also find wet dog, skunk, decomposition, human body odor, and ammonia or urine. These are all really common Bigfoot smells. Bigfoot, it's like, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches when trying to pin down the number of Bigfoot cases that involve a smell. I know that John Green at one point said that there weren't that many cases that involved smell in Bigfoot reports, but and in my experience, that's not really the case. And of course, John Green was looking at Pacific Northwest Bigfoot. So, you know, when you bring in the skunk ape from Florida, like, almost every skunk ape encounter definitely has a smell component.
Is it partly because people don't ask that question?
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, because we tend to undervalue smell in a lot of cases. We don't expect things to smell. And there's also this interesting trend as well where Bigfoot tend to smell more when they've noticed the witness, if that makes any sense. So you'll find cases where people claim to have been spying on a Bigfoot but not smell anything, versus cases where they look at a Bigfoot, they turn around and a Bigfoot is staring at them, and then they'll get this hit by the smell. But also there's this possibility that in some cases the smell will turn on and off, just like a valve or like a deliberate scent gland sort of thing. Which raises a whole other host of questions, and hopefully this book is sort of like the definitive answer on whether or not Bigfoot have scent glands, and if they do, what the implications of that are.
The book is called The Brimstone Deceit, and Chris is thinking of some other possibilities as he gets ready to talk about it. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
The award-winning graphic converter, the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. Get 20% off from lemkesoft.de/gene. That's lemkesoft.de/gene. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Lead non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937. Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we're talking with Joshua Cutchin, and the book is called The Brimstone Deceit. Chris?
Talking about Bigfoot, I mean, one of the probably the most well-known description of smells in the paranormal, if you want to equate Bigfoot with paranormal events, is that whole aspect of smell. And from personal experience, I've recounted my particular 1979, whatever this thing was, and it was one of the most unique, nastiest smells that I've ever smelled. And it was not a single smell. I'm thinking back on it, it had various components to it. And, besides the body odor, kind of almost a feces type smell combined with, sweat, a skunky, very cloying, like human skunk is the only way I could really.
A skunk man.
Yeah, like a skunk ape or a skunk man, exactly. Yeah. And, I'm wondering, thinking back on that experience, it seemed like something that was naturally there, that the wind shifted possibly or the breeze shifted at the right moment so that myself and my buddy could smell it. But I'm wondering, could these actually be smells that are selectively triggered on and off? Are we dealing with something that is just a byproduct of the creature's presence, or is it actually a component that they're able to use? And like you just mentioned in the previous segment, almost turn it on or off. Where do you go with that? How do you feel about that? Is there any indications that you have that this could possibly be something that could be turned on and off at will, and possibly even different aspects of a smell or combination of smells could be utilized as some sort of willful defense mechanism?
That's an excellent question, and to sort of give you some idea of my line of thought on that, I had to sort of backtrack a little bit to the UFO topic. There was a gentleman by the name of Antonio F. Roulon who wrote a one of the first papers on UFOs and smells. It's a great work. I recommend it in the acknowledgement section of my book as like required reading, like a required companion piece for this book. He put forth several hypotheses to describe the sort of possibilities of where smells and UFO encounters came from. The environment, is it the object's effect on the environment? Is it purely from the object, et cetera. So with this in mind, I sort of developed a similar system for categorizing Sasquatch smell reports. So the four main categories that we've got to look at are endogenous, intentional, which would be a scent gland. Endogenous unintentional, which would be like some sort of Bigfoot body odor. Exogenous intentional, which would be some sort of smell in the environment that's applied to the Bigfoot deliberately. Or exogenous unintentional, which would be, Bigfoot happens to sleep in a bunch of, in a dank cave that smells like, sulfur, or Bigfoot bathes in a hot spring or something that smells like sulfur.
So residual.
Yeah, basically, all of these have been proposed at various junctures. So there are some proponents of the exogenous intentional hypothesis. I know J.C. Johnson had a video a while back where he proposed that Bigfoot actually harvest the scent glands from skunks and rub them on.
I was
going to
mention that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really fascinating possibility.
It's an interesting and compelling possibility, and it's interesting in the fact that, sometimes we'll get the skunk smell overlaid with other smells. So I definitely make a point to address that. But as far as scent glands go, so the question isn't whether or not Bigfoot has a scent gland. If it's a mammal, it has a scent gland. Like, we have scent glands ourselves. The real question is, A, is it strong smelling? And B, is it voluntary, right? Usually, generally speaking, when we think of scent glands, we think of the mustelids. So we think of minks and wolverines and skunks, et cetera, that have some sort of degree of control over their particular, physiology. But there are there's an emerging field of research of scent glands in primates. It's becoming very apparent in recent research, literally the past 2 years, 3 years, where Bigfoot gorillas have been noted to be able to control certain scents that they release in certain in certain contexts. So either, you know, conversing with other dominant males or being frightened. But as far as a deliberately released scent gland, a deliberately controlled scent gland for a primate, the evidence is kind of sketchy. And of course, then you have this other question that sort of arises, which is why would Bigfoot need to warn somebody away? Because they're, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 feet tall. Like, I think they can take care of themselves without just frightening something away with scent. But you've got to look at the literature where sometimes they don't smell. Sometimes people will notice that Bigfoot scent, like, suddenly hits them and suddenly goes away. There seems to be a very deliberate component to that. I think part of the time this might be, you know, I'm on the fence as to whether or not Bigfoot is a biological entity or something stranger. And I think part of the time, it might be one answer. The scent gland hypothesis might be correct. But some of the other time, I think that there might be something stranger going on.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole idea of being able to control not only the very idea that Bigfoot can control the types of smells that emanate from them is very intriguing. I don't really see enough evidence in the literature to make a determination like that. But based on just a handful of cases that I've been involved with, which didn't involve smell, and my own personal experience, I think it would be very, very difficult to determine that. But, you know, the very idea that an animal could selectively emit various qualities of odor or types of odor is intriguing, and I think it deserves some attention.
Well, you know, even stranger, some people have cited numerous smells in the same encounter. So it's almost like they have this sort of, you know, database of smells to choose from, which would explain the discrepancies between different encounters. But
I'm not familiar with that.
So there's not a biological precedent for that, you know, at all. But there was a case, I believe it was, I'm trying to think. It was in Christopher Knowles book. Not Chris Knowles, the guy who runs the Secret Sun blog, but Christopher Knowles is his name, or Noel. There was a Sasquatch habituator who said that while mowing her lawn, she got the body odor smell, she got the skunk smell, she got the dead body smell in quick succession.
You know what? I'd be running out of there real quick. We've got to do our break. And then we'll look more about odors from mowing the lawn with Gene and Chris and Joshua. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. sunshine-pillows.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
My name is Lee and I'm 41. I've been using One World Wave for 2.5 years now. I suffered a bulged L4 and L5 disc from a car accident 3 years ago, and since that time I've been unable to walk long distances, do any minor lifting, or just normal activities with my children without having severe back pain. Since I've started using One World Way, I've been able to walk more, engage in activities with my children, and have less lower back pain. One World Way has helped me regain back my strength, confidence, and have a healthier life. I've noticed a weight loss of about 20 pounds, my My A1C dropped 2 points, and I have more energy now. One World Way has helped me regain back my life.
The results for clients on One World Whey have surpassed the results for most any other supplements, as well as all other whey protein powders. One World Whey is non-denatured and frequency encoded. We believe the frequency encoding increases your body's production of glutathione and energy production. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Warning! If you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to change the station. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be faster than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to change the station now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You could reduce your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-557-3965. That's 1-800-557-3965. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-557-3965. 1-800-557-3965. 1-800-557-3965.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, this is not the most malodorous episode of the Paracast ever. We have some pretty screwy guests over the years.
We've had some stinkers.
Oh, we sure have.
Boy, you're a real creative thinker, Josh, to come up with an angle that really has never been addressed before, as a body of inquiry. I do think you're on the right track, and I can't wait for, how are you going to follow these scent-oriented works up. Well, first we went from food to smells, and I'm wondering where you're going to go next with this. Well, I love it.
I feel painted into a corner in a bit. My next thing that I'd like to do would not be quite so broad topic-oriented. I've kicked around the idea of a Lyle Blackburn-esque investigation of the Kelly Hopkinsville goblins.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I think that's a case that's worthy of its own long-form treatment. But, the idea is like to take a look and be like, what's a subject that's been covered in a lot of chapters and books, but nobody has ever dedicated a book to it? This is the next big giant bullseye that I saw, that's for sure.
We've been talking about a lot of rather questionable in terms of positive and negative. There are examples in the literature, especially in the realm of religious miracles, where you have the opposite. You have the smell of roses. You have perfume, more pleasant smells that are associated with particular event or events. You know, the smell of roses is one that's always intrigued mm-hmm. me. You know, the whole idea of stigmata, as often has been described as having the scent of roses. Have you encountered any sort of research that would kind of a leg up on why that is?
Absolutely. I mean, so there's this concept in olfactory research that is called hedonics, which is the idea that the associated feeling or sensation with a scent. So garbage evokes revulsion, unless you're a garbage man, and it invokes, you know, the ka-ching, the scent of money. Bacon invokes hunger, unless you're a vegan, in which case it, you know, evokes revulsion again. So it's interesting to see how the disposition of certain entities correspond with these hedonic associations. So to that end, you do find, like, there are, like, literally less than two cases I ever found where Sasquatch smells pleasant. There are plenty of cases where contactees, especially of the Orfeo Angelucci and Adamski, I know that's not really germane, but it kind of is, variety, tend to say that, you know, these space brothers that they've contacted smelled wonderfully. So again, you see these correspondences where pleasant entities tend to smell pleasant. One of the most prevalent cases that I found was a recently canonized expression of the Virgin Mary, Blessed Virgin Mary, that was just recently canonized and authenticated by the Holy See in May 2008, which was Our Lady of Laos, L-A-U-S, a region in France. It doesn't get a lot of publicity because most of the literature on it is in French, but there was a young girl who in 1664 claimed to have met the Virgin Mary, and she was told to go to the town of Laos and find a chapel from which a sweet perfume came, and it was the odor of roses and flowers. And it was documented by people of the time to the extent that, like, you know, people were encouraged to, you know, build sculptures, and to this day people are discouraged from bringing flowers into the actual site of the church because they're afraid that that will conflict or make people misidentify the fragrance of the flowers with the fragrance of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you find these pleasant scents in almost every BVM encounter, Blessed Virgin Mary encounter, and you find them in a lot of feminine ghost encounters. Now, what I find interesting personally is the fact that, again, this idea of hedonics and this idea of associations and this idea of smell, like, really sort of deceiving us. And if you are in an abandoned hotel and you smell perfume, you say, oh, it was a nice lady. If you're in an abandoned hotel and you smell a cigar, you say, oh, it was a man. But women of ages past smoke just as much as men, and men of ages past have used cologne just as much as women have used perfume. So it's interesting. I think it says a lot about, like, what we bring to the dance, to quote Greg Bishop on this, what we bring to the dance in terms of our experiences to these sort of Magonian phenomena.
That's true, and it goes right back into that whole idea of how smells can subtly or blatantly influence how we respond or how we react to a particular event. One element that I've always been intrigued by is the Tom Robbins book, Jitterbug Perfume, where you know, it's a fictional book, obviously a novel, but it's all about Pan trying to stop from disappearing from reality. He's being forgotten. He's becoming passé. And a perfumer, or I'm not sure what that term is, but this woman, if I remember correctly, figures out that that Pan, his scent is actually a fixative that will help a particular combination of scents last longer, like for hundreds of years, sperm whale puke or ambergris was used as a fixative to fix the smell, the combination of smells for perfume. And it's a really fascinating book, just as a novel, but the whole idea of ambergris or some sort of fixative in a combination of smells that would keep them combined. And correct me if I'm wrong, Josh, if I got this right. But that whole concept to me is very intriguing. And the whole idea that, you know, for the sake of those who haven't read the book, that Pan, which is, you know, kind of a fairly neither positive or negative, generally with a negative connotation, should have this. It's a Tom Robbins book called Jitter Perfume, and it talks about Pan disappearing from the modern world, and a perfumer finding out that his scent actually is a fixative for combining pleasant scents into a perfume, similar to the way ambergris was used, sperm whale puke was used for generations to as a fixative for perfume. The whole idea of combining scents and then allowing them to last as a combination with the rut smell of pan is very intriguing to me. And it does lead me on to a couple of other subjects. But are you familiar with how perfumes are made? The fact that perfumes, I've heard, were devised initially by the French to hide the smell of body odor because it was considered unhealthy to bathe and shower in the Middle Ages, and perfume was an obvious way to get around the stink of unwashed human bodies.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you mentioned that. I'm looking at a book on my shelf called Scent. It was translated from French. It's a work by Annick Le Guerrier, which is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's in some ways it's partly the book that I wanted to write because a lot of it interfaces with how scent and the occult mash together. But one of the things that they talk about, you know, are the way that fixatives have been utilized. For example, civet, the scent glands from civet cats, I believe, has been used to great effect in perfumes. Similarly, you know, people don't want to realize that a lot of their artificial vanilla flavors contain beaver anal scent gland excretions as well.
Nice.
But so there was this we look upon it as sort of dunderheaded nowadays. But in the 1700s, people came up with this idea of miasma theory, the idea that bad smells could actually cause actual afflictions to occur, which if you look at something like hydrogen sulfide, that actually has real repercussions. It's not too far off the mark, I suppose, but like the actual smell itself isn't what hurts you. But, you know, by comparison, if bad smells have qualities that actually make you sick, then, you know, good smells, or, you know, in a lot of cases, people would light fires to sort of cleanse the air, would have a positive effect on people.
This announcement also has a positive effect on people, they tell me. With Joshua, Gene, and Chris, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cardovite. Cardovite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cardovite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix, and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We continue. Chris O'Brien, by the way, is having his usual difficulties with Skype, so if he seems to be a little distorted, it's not the logic, because his logic is never distorted. It is the horrible Skype connection that we have to continue to put up with. Joshua Cutchin is here, and we're looking at strange scents. So let me ask you here, since we focus so much on nasty odors, do pleasant odors have a curative effect?
Well, not in a 20th century outlook. I mean, certainly they have a... They can have a relaxing effect, but there is certainly the implication that, well, again, as we've been talking about, you know, throughout the course of this conversation, the possibility that certain odors might be used for deceptive purposes. As far as pleasant odors go, I'm reminded of Whitley Strieber's encounter with the visitors, where he asked to smell them to sort of reinforce his objective reality of their existence, and they smelled like cinnamon. But what's interesting to me is that over time he has come to reevaluate that particular smell. And look, I'm a Whitley Strieber apologist. Like, I think something happened to the guy. I think he's expressing that to the best of his abilities. I know that might not be a popular view on the Paracast, but that's sort of the way, sort of where I come at it from. But it is troubling that he has reevaluated the smell, because over time it's gone from cinnamon to cheese to, like, I think maybe feet, I'm not recalling correctly, but, you know, a sort of decaying, damp smell. And if you look at anybody who studies scent psychology, olfactory psychology, they will say time and again that that doesn't happen. You smell something, you know what that smells like, you don't reevaluate it, that's your smell. Which, you know, but at the same time, you do run into other people who have encountered this sort of cinnamon-esque smell with certain entities.
Cinnamon-esque.
A new fragrance.
I like cinnamon. Like
yeah, I do too.
Well, another thing, too, that most people probably don't really have much knowledge about is in the occult, certain smells are used, actually, in a way, incense is used to crown a new head of state, a new king or queen in England, as the same scent is used to I'm not sure what you call it when you make a new pope, a crown a new pope. Abramelin, which is a form of incense from the Middle East, which is a combination of frankincense, myrrh. Not sure there's two or three other ingredients, but I find it very curious that you should have a very similar, if not the same, scent that's used in a ritual occult purpose to anoint a new head of, you know, a church, a school, a kingdom, or whatever. Have you looked into the occult and how smells are actually utilized in occult practices?
Well, I think you sort of have to. Something that I'm trying to encourage more is this cross-pollination of people who look into what are traditionally considered materialist supernatural issues like structured craft UFOs and flesh and blood Bigfoot, and trying to get those people to, you know, play ball with the occult people, because I think they're both onto something that they could mutually benefit from. What's interesting is that you'll find, believe it or not, that sulfur can not only conjure up demons, but can also be used to bind demons, if you can believe that at all. You know, incense sort of, so this is sort of the intersection with my last book, A Trojan Feast, is that there was this idea that in order to transmit food to the other, you had to burn it, because in burning you transmitted the essence of the food into smoke, which would then rise to the heavens and do its own thing, which has a lot of parallels with the Celtic concept of foison, the idea that the essence of the food could be taken by the fairy folk. But beyond that, you also find that this is sort of the one of the genesis. Is genesis the plural of Genesis? One of the genesis of using incense in occult practice is that it's sort of a variation on the burnt offering, because instead of, you know, instead of combusting flesh, you're combusting, you know, essential oils and plants. And it's all about that sort of set and setting sort of thing that you run into. So what you will find is that certain cultures will use, for example, I believe that there's a spell of binding certain demons that you have to involve putting sulfur into a box and then writing the name of the demon on the box, and then the demon is bound to you. But you'll also find what was called the curse of chains. They would sort of put the name of the entity on a scrap of parchment and then put it in a box with sulfur and some other stuff. But you also find in the American South, sulfur amongst black slaves was used to fashion witch balls, is what they were called, which were supposedly these sort of balls that were like animal feces and human semen and spit and sulfur and foxfire and camphor. Not exactly something you'd want to smell. Yeah, right.
That's tasty.
But supposedly they kept witches away. So, I mean, you'll find you know, there are certain Eastern European beliefs that a jar of urine might keep sleep paralysis away if you put it under your bed. Ironically enough, it comes to, you know, it's come to the attention of modern science that foul smells can be registered in sleep and often invoke nightmares. So that doesn't seem like a good course of action. But if anybody's looking for any practical advice, what I've heard from someone that I really admire, Chaos magician Gordon White, who has influenced a lot of the ways that I think be a great guest for the Paracast at some point, says that in terms of just in modern day-to-day life, frankincense is a great way to just clean out the house, which sort of takes back to what you're talking about, Chris, with the coronation of certain popes. I guess coronation, again, is the right term. But the nuclear option for anyone looking to cleanse a house really isn't sage, it's dragon's blood, which is a specific type of incense as well, I believe.
Well, the best way to clean out a house is just to burn it down, I guess.
Or to leave. It's that 15-minute mark.
Yeah, in the Steinberg world, yeah.
Well, you know, you can also get a Samsung Galaxy Note 7 and give it a chance, fully charge it, and maybe it'll burn up.
Well, there you go. That was a plug for iPhone, if I ever heard one.
I saw a meme today that said that that ancient cavemen used to use the Samsung Galaxy to light fires.
There you go.
It was really easy to do that. Real hot stuff.
One thing that I think that we should point out is smell and scents do have a cultural component, and what may smell bad in one culture could possibly not be considered as foul smelling in another culture, number one. And number two, as we have progressed forward in time, smell has become less and less apparent. And I think humans have, in many ways, more sensitive noses now because of the rise of antibacterial soaps and all kinds of perfumes and things that mass smell, things that clean you. I think back in the Middle Ages when people weren't washing, when, open sewers ran through towns, cities, and villages, when slaughterhouses were open air, I think people back then were, I think, more used to foul smells as opposed to now, at least in the first world, where, in the modern cultures, where smell tends to, or bad smells tend to, be much more apparent, I think, in everybody's everyday life. And again, I think that we're dealing with something that, there's a lot of, I think we have a lot of variability. Back in ancient times, or maybe up to medieval times, smells were, I think, not as, they were a part of everyday life in the modern era. Okay.
The book is called, in case you're wondering, and we've mentioned it a few times, The Brimstone Deceit. Whoa. All about the strange odors, malodorous entities from another planet, all sorts of strange things going on there. It's never strange to tell you that we have the PowerCast Plus at plus.thepowercast.com. You get the commercial-free version of this show, the After the PowerCast podcast, and all sorts of good stuff. None of it smells. It's very fresh and clean. Now, the PowerCast Plus is a real special thing because of the fact that it can take us to places that we can't go on a network radio show. We can use language. We could add music and other features that we're not able to do. So it makes it a really, really unique show. It features color commentary, discussions about all sorts of things, and sometimes on occasion we feature a guest from the PowerCast or a different guest at a low subscription rate. So once again, it's called the PowerCast Plus. Go to plus.thepowercast.com. Once again, that's plus.thepowercast.com. More odorous stuff to present with Joshua Cutchin and Gene and Chris. You're in
Bad Sushi.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. Radio.recordedvideo.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.